Preparing for this message, I was impressed with a thought of the goodness of God leading those to repentance, and I just thought it might be a good night to ask if anyone has praise that they'd like to give before the message. Anyone want to testify of God's goodness? Josiah, why don't you start, and Tim, could I ask you to get the smaller mic for those that might be soft-spoken?
Yeah.
Thank you.
First, I want to thank the Lord for saving me this year in February.
Amen.
It's a blessing I finally got. That peace that passes all understanding.
Praise God.
And I want to thank the Lord for allowing us to stay here as long as He has this year. It's been a blast and a blessing.
Great. Miss Charity, I saw your hand up.
I just want to thank the Lord for giving me another day and for my family and that we're all in church. And Noah wants to praise the Lord too, right? And I'm just thankful to be here. That's all.
Amen.
I want to praise the Lord for where my family is at today, and babies for days. I'm just overflowing with joy with my grandchildren, and especially Rosie, because we all know that she's a miracle all by herself. And I'm just so happy that we're where we're at.
Praise God.
Well, I do praise the Lord for being home for a little bit. It's been quite a last couple of weeks have been tough, but what I wanted to say is I praise the Lord for the Word of God.
Amen.
When there's just this morning in Hebrews chapter 7, I came to the verse of 25 where it says, "Wherefore He, Jesus, is able also to save them, me, to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." And I just praise the Lord for intercessing for me and for meeting me and saving me and changing my life.
Amen.
This morning I was listening to the podcast, and it was Brother Church. He did the A Godly Mother podcast. And in there he was talking about Hannah, and I always relate to that part of the Bible. And before I related with sorrow, and now I relate with joy. And he was just talking about how, like, a praying mother, and how she just kept praying, she kept praying, she didn't stop praying, she didn't stop praying. And I was kind of like making my bed and doing other things, and I was listening, and that caught my attention. And I just started crying because I remember when I was praying over and over and over and over again. And I know we've already had a thank God for the babies thing in here, but yeah. I just started crying, and I just thanked God, and I just praised Him, because I just remember never stopping to pray, and He answered that prayer, and I'm just so thankful for His goodness and His mercy in allowing us to have this blessing.
That's good.
What'll be next?
I'm going to thank God for letting us stay here as long as He has, and also Mr. John for letting us stay here. It's been a very big blessing to me. Specifically, I've felt like God has been working with me a lot through the messages, and it's also a blessing to be in church.
Amen.
Thank you.
I would just like to thank God for where I'm at in my life, and salvation and marriage. And I was listening to Eric's Perkins testimony that went on One Soul at a Time, I believe, and the other day at work. And he was just talking through his testimony, and right in the middle of it, I was just cutting whatever rafters or something on the job saw, and God just flooded my heart with that song, "To God Be the Glory, and Great Things He Hath Done." And I'm just thinking, like, just
Amen.
The goodness in my life specifically, but then flowing over to, like, my family and all of the change in just the last couple of years in our family specifically. And it's marvelous to me. I wouldn't have expected
any of just, there's just so much change and so many people that have gotten saved in the last couple of years, and that is almost strange to think of. Just so many years of just seems stagnant, and like you always kind of figured at some point, I don't know, something would happen, but never really, I don't know, I guess expecting it. And then in these last couple of years, there's been so much change, and certain people I look at, like Eric, and just kind of never really expect things to get through, and just think, how could God ever reach him, or how could God ever reach this person or that person? Like, I remember when Tanya asked what got saved, and she would be the last person I would think, because I'm an idiot, would think. And but then she got saved, and that like shocked me. And then the same thing with Eric, and I just full of joy listening to that testimony while working. I thank God for all of that.
During a conversation today, you reminded me, I want to thank God for some of the unanswered foolish prayers I pray. Yeah. Sometimes we ask things amiss, and they're for our good, because he knows that some of the things we think we want are not what we need. And I also just want to thank him for all the difficulties and the trials associated to praise him in all things, because they're for our refining, for our betterment, for his glory. Because if we're doing things in our strength, we'll try to steal his glory. And it's not about what we can do. It's about him showing his glory through us and just yielding to him. And I'm just so grateful for that, some of the things that he's allowing me to go through, that he thinks that he's allowing me to go through for my better. I'm just so grateful that he didn't put me away, that he didn't decide to be done with me and all of my foolishness.
Glory to God. Yeah, so if you turn, thank you for everyone that shared. God is good. If you turn with me to Proverbs 6, it'll be our jumping off point. We're not going to stay here long, but in Proverbs 6, I just want to lay the groundwork or introduce our thought here. In Proverbs 6, verse 16, it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." A proud look is the first one that we're going to look at today. And if this isn't your pet sin, don't worry, your day is coming. We'll get to you. Let me start very basic and just say that you can't have a proud look without pride in your heart. And as we go through some verses, you're going to see that word pride used almost interchangeably. And I'm just scratching the surface, but at that level, it's where we're going to be at, pride and proud. And often you'll find yourself proud through group association. You'll be proud to be an American. You'll be proud to be a Christian. And let me just say that those that are not proud have a better capability of seeing their flaws as an individual. They see what's wrong with them much better than people that are proud, because they lump themselves in with the accomplishments of others. And it's not wise. It's not wise to compare ourselves one to another, but it's also not wise to take credit for others' accomplishments. Now, we don't have, I don't believe that we have the time to look at these individually, but if you are taking notes, I'll say these slowly. These are the fruits of pride, and I'm going to give you how you can know that you're proud, and the verse markings, the address for it. And if you want to look it up later, I think it could be a benefit to you if you have this struggle. So a fruit of being proud is being deceived. That'll be a recurring theme as we look at these the seven deadly sins, is the level of deception But specifically with being proud, you'll be deceived. It says that in Jeremiah 49, verse 16. Jeremiah 49, verse 16. Please don't turn there. I'm sorry if I wasn't clear on that. Another is contention. You'll find that in Proverbs 13:10. Shame in Proverbs 11:12. Fading beauty in Isaiah 28:11, and destruction in Proverbs 16:18. Now just to look at the scope of the problem, how big is pride? Like, is it that big of a deal? Let's look, turn to Psalms 10, verse 4. And as we're turning there, I just want to thank everyone that prayed for me as we prepared for this message. Much of the verses that we'll be looking at are just from my daily reading. I didn't have to do an in-depth study. God just put them right in front of me, and I'm so thankful for the answered prayer that was for those that took time to do that. So I'm in Psalms chapter 10. In verse 4, it says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Let me say, if you have pride, you will not seek after God and cannot be saved. And I wish that was just me saying that. But there's a popular verse, we won't turn there, but it's Hebrews 11:6. I'll read it in its entirety. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That second half again. "And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So if you have pride and you're not seeking after God, you cannot be saved. And that's the scope of the problem that we're dealing with here. Just a few chapters ahead, we'll go to Psalms 31. And I'm looking at verse 18 in Psalms 31. "Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous." Once you're proud against the unrighteous, once you can turn your nose, once you can look down your nose at the alcoholic or the drug abuser or the person that just can't seem to get to work on time or can't seem to put 4 hours into an 8-hour shift. It's not that big of a step to become proud against the righteous either. That's one of the most deceptive parts about pride. So you spoke this grievous thing. Maybe it was against a man of God. And you've grieved the Holy Ghost. Now you're not getting anything out of the messages. Do you look back at your chat history, what you've said, or I think it's more in our nature to just say, "Boy, pastor's really in left field here." It would be better that our lips were silenced. Let's look at Psalms 33, verse 13. "The Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth all the men, all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his strength." Will your pride, I mean that thing that you're proud of, will it save you? Can you build anything that will survive, that will last for eternity? Dear, how long have we been at the house? 4 years. We've been in a one bedroom or a three bedroom, one bath house, and I've fixed one toilet 4 times. Let's turn to Psalms 25, verse 3. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. So here's an instruction for the lost. Wait to be shown what you need to repent of. Now that transgression without cause, as it says in the third verse here, can speak to pride without cause, not being objective or rational or reasonable. Now the proud, they can tell you why they're looking at you the way that they're looking at you. They've got their reasons. But when we look at it from God's understanding of having an eternal vision from everlasting to everlasting, he doesn't see cause in your being proud. Have you done anything to get that person that you're looking down on? Have you done anything to get them to where they are today? Probably not. And you've probably done very little to get them from where they are today to where they could be. And your biggest hindrance is your pride. Stop. You got one up on them. You don't need to help them. Your pride is without cause. The next verses we're going to look at are in Psalms 33:18. These next verses look to that work that God desires to do in your life. Regardless of whether you have a proud look or not, but we'll be looking at it in that context. But let me say that if you have a proud look, it's keeping you from God. We already saw in our opening verse that he considers it an abomination. So in Psalms 33, verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Got back to my first page of notes, so I think we'll just start over. To look at that work that God desires to accomplish in your life, to be delivered from death, to have our heart emptied of pride and filled with rejoicing in him, according as we hope in thee, to exchange our desires to set down what we think is good, what we think is righteous about ourselves, to cast that away and exchange it, to free our hands, to grab hold of what he'd have for our lives. As our righteousness is as filthy rags, I believe those with the issue of pride they've been given pre-sale tickets to like a concert. The only problem is that concert is in the righteous side of hell. And they need to set that down. I don't want those tickets. They need to take it back to Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster's saying we can't refund it, so they got a choice. They can more than likely they're gonna ask, can I get store credit? You get store credit for that? No, there's no, you're not getting anything for what you hold valuable. You need to wake up. Those tickets that you've purchased, they're going to send you to hell. Psalm 35:16. With hypocritical mockers in feast, they gnash upon me with their teeth. The hypocritical, the proud esteem themselves higher than others. And we've already heard it preached here. To esteem yourself higher than others is hypocritical. This verse points to the hypocritical. You being proud has made you an enemy of David, the author here. I believe it's from the podcast that that gnashing of teeth, that couldn't be David, that's a messianic, that's of the Messiah, that you've made yourself an enemy of Jesus Christ himself. You've made yourself an enemy of David and Jesus Christ. But what does David matter in all this? Well, let me just say that David is a man after God's own heart. You find that in 1 Samuel 13. Let's see in verse 8 of that same chapter, we'll see David's prayer for his enemies, what he's hoping will happen to you. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself into that very destruction, let him fall. That judgment that you're casting down on others is the same judgment God will use against you. That judgment is the literal net of this eighth verse. I'll just read some familiar scripture from Matthew chapter 7. Judge not that ye be not. I'm sorry. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And even David couldn't escape that principle. Nathan said, thou art the man. And 2 Samuel. Now let's take just one step back as we look at the second half of that proud look. That would be the look. What changes by looking at something or someone? John Mark, you spend a lot of time at job looking over jobs. Have you ever seen one finished during that time? And just all the pieces fell together, you just looked it into place? No, nothing changed. The whole time you looked at the job. Wow. Yeah, not a lot changes by looking at something. But if God has shown you that you're lost, and he's shown you that you have a proud look, why don't you confess it to him? It could be the last labor he's asking before your salvation. That last thing between you and being nigh to Christ. If God's Spirit assures you you are saved, but you're convinced on this, or excuse me, you're convicted on this point of a proud look, the next time you give that proud look, why don't you seek to understand their situation, befriend them, and pray that God would send someone across your path or theirs that's had victory in that manner, that can guide them. You'll begin to go from looking to ministering. We'll just take a real quick pit stop in Numbers chapter 1, and we'll look at that idea of ministering. The first chapter of Numbers, verse 50. But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all the things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp round about the tabernacle. So when you're done looking down on someone and you begin to work to build them up, that's when you find out how small you really are, how much you need God to do anything, how
Amen.
Barely qualified you are to wash dishes.
Amen.
But that might just be what God's called you to do, to wash a vessel of the Holy Ghost. Let's look at our last verse in Luke 14. This is the cure for a proud look for all saved and for all lost. In Luke chapter 14, I'm looking at verse 11. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So there's an easy way and a hard way, right? You can stop being defensive. You can confess your wrong, your fault. You can stop fighting God. Or you can let him take you to where you should be. He can abase you. It will hurt a lot more when God does it. You're being defensive. You're running a fool's errand. Take off your shoes and hit your knees. Brother Cook, could we have our last song and I'll take a prayer request?
Amen. Amen.
Okay, we're going to do this one a cappella. Please stand. And 460. 460. Room at the cross. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain as wide as seat.